Hey everyone, my name is Mitchell, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way for you to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Good evening, everybody. As you can see, I'm not Justin. I know, don't be sad. You can be sad. That's okay. Justin's fantastic. Thankful for Pastor Justin. My name is Jason Combs. I am the location pastor here, and I'm privileged to share with you tonight. And so if you do have a Bible, we'll be in the book of Jonah, which is in the Old Testament. Tonight, I'm going to talk to you about the story of Jonah. Now, who in here is would say I'm a little bit of a churchy? When you speak of the story of Jonah, I have a little bit of idea what you're talking about, all right? So Jonah, if you maybe went to church as a kid, maybe grandma took you, whatever it is, there's a story in the Bible about Jonah, the fish, exactly. The Jonah, but what's so cool about the book of Jonah is sometimes when we, especially you churchies, me churchies, we hear a story, we're like, oh, it's such a cute little kid story. I will tell you, most of the stories in the Old Testament, they're not cute little kid stories. Like we go, oh, David and Goliath, he cuts off his head. That's not a cute kid story, right? So many times in the Old Testament, they're not cute little kid stories. They are God's word to us to teach us something incredible, to teach us about who God is and his love for us and to point us to Jesus. So let's go to the book of Jonah. Now, I love the story of Jonah. It's not long. If you're like me, a little ADD, like a 4-chapter book, I'm like, yes, I can read that. Thank you. You know, but and sometimes we read the Bible, you can be like, man, I don't know how this is applies. This is like really long. The book of Jonah is 4 chapters. And it is an amazing story that we can directly look at and go, man, this can really apply to my life. See, Jonah was a prophet of the Lord. He was sent by the Lord, and the Lord had a plan for his life. So let's read. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, it says, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah. In verse 2, he says, arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. Verse 3. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah, a man of the Lord, right? A prophet. He's given the word of the Lord. This is what you should do. This is what you're called to do. Jonah, here's the word of God. And Jonah said, no, I'm good, God. And the Bible says that Jonah went exactly the opposite direction. Jonah ran away, the Bible says, from the presence of the Lord. So who in here would say, man, that sounds kind of practical. There was a time in my life, maybe right now, maybe yesterday, I'm thinking about doing it tomorrow, to run away from the presence of the Lord. Who's ever run away from the presence of the Lord? Now, when we talk about the presence of the Lord, we got to know, like, to run away from the presence of the Lord, the truth is, God's always going to know what you're doing. He always sees. You're not going to be like, God's like, where'd he go? God doesn't do that. He knows where you've gone. But what this is talking about, it's to run away from the purpose of God, the plan of God, the goodness of God, the gifting of God. It's to say, God, what you have, I'm going another direction. This is what Jonah did. He ran away from the Lord. As a pastor, I see this. I watch people run away from the presence of the Lord. What does that look like? Well, a lot of times they're going to run away from the church. They're going to run away from people who keep them accountable. Man, it's funny. They stop returning a text or a call. They're going to stop those people who keep them accountable from falling back into addiction. Man, it's funny how they just stop returning those phone calls. They miss those meetings. And so they run away from those people who point them to the Lord, that point them to the word, that point them to, hey, this is what God has from you. They run away from that. And this is what Jonah did. In verse 4, it says this, but the Lord The Lord didn't go, okay, see you, Jonah, bye. No, the Lord wasn't done. I also am thankful the Lord is not done with me when I do wrong. It says, but the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea. Now, I didn't tell you. See, Jonah went the exact other way, got onto a ship and tried to sail as far away from what God has called him to. And he got on a ship and he goes in the bottom of the ship and he goes and he takes a nap. Well, the Lord sends a storm to Jonah's life. The Lord sends a storm. What is he doing? Jonah, I need to wake you up. Jonah, you need to wake up. Now, I asked you earlier, any of you run away from the Lord. How about this one? Let's get more personal. Anybody ever know that the Lord sent a storm in your life to bring you back? Anybody? The Lord sent a storm because you were asleep. You didn't care. You were gone. But the Lord wasn't done with you. And the Lord sent a storm to wake Jonah up. Now, can I tell you, when you read this little kid's Bible story, it's not a kid's Bible story. I want you to hear, these are some mariners. These are some sailors on this boat. I bet you they've dealt with some pretty big storms. Well, this storm was different. This storm was freaking them out. This storm, they said, uh-oh. This storm, they started throwing cargo off the boat, trying to not die. This was a heavy storm. The Bible says that the ship began to, it's like it began to flex. Can you hear the ship creaking and cracking? The storm is loud. It's not a little storm. It's not a storm that you go, ah, I'm okay, I can take care of that. I know for me, I many times in life I've thought, man, I'm big and strong and I can take care of it. I'm good. This storm was bigger and badder than they were. This storm was in a place that they couldn't take care of it themselves. So the Lord ever send you a storm, it was bigger and badder than you thought. Last weekend, I went down to Florida, me and my son, and I have friends. They live on Sanibel Island in Florida, and it's just a beautiful place. But in October, a couple years ago, Hurricane Ian changed what that place looked like. A Category 4 hurricane that was supposed to hit Tampa turned and came right onto Sanibel Island. And now it's some three and a half years later, and it's crazy. You drive there, there's still houses abandoned. There's still things just left alone years and years later. The storm turned, and what happened is my friend said that their house that needed to be completely renovated, they could go into the attic of their house, and they had water damage. That means the water was 14 feet high in their house. It wasn't a little storm. They say some 130 people died. My friends told me of people who said, you know what, we can wait out the storm. Told me some crazy stories. Older people standing on their kitchen countertop on their tiptoes just trying to stay above the water. The storm was not one that they go, hey, I'm okay, I'm gonna take care of it. No, the storm that God sent was for them to realize they needed to change their ways. They needed to change directions. The Lord sent the storm. Now, you may be sitting here and going, why would I follow a God that sends a storm? Why? I just want a God who's kind and caring and loving. Why would I follow a God that sends a storm? So I'm here in the church, you're telling me about the Bible. Why would I follow that God? Well, first off, understand when the Bible talks about the Lord, the Bible tells us about his loving kindness. God loves you so much, he sent his son Jesus to the earth to die on the cross. And the Bible tells us that God gives us kindness and his patience and his caringness. He reveals his love to us. But not everybody sees it. Not everybody sees God's kindness and his love. Not everybody sees it and follows him. Some people are people who need to go through the storm to truly see the Lord. They won't believe, they won't follow, and God loves them enough to not just leave them. God sends them through a storm to draw them back. Now, I'll tell you, let me speak very frank with you. My father was a man who was an addict who came to know the Lord before I was born. Right, my father was a man who didn't follow the Lord, was in addiction, and then my dad was miraculously saved by the Lord. It changed his life. And after that, my dad was some 30 years old. I was born after that. I grew up in a home where I had a mom and dad who loved the Lord, who pointed me to Jesus, and I am thankful that in my life that I saw the loving kindness of God. And the Lord saved me. I'm so thankful for that. Right? My dad was different. Some of you in here, it's different. There had to be a storm. I will tell you, my son, I pray my son sees the kindness of the Lord, sees his goodness, and follows the Lord. But can I tell you something? I'm also thankful for the Lord that if he doesn't see the kindness of God, may the Lord send a storm in his life to reveal who God is and that he needs a Savior. I'm so thankful that God cares about us, that he's willing to draw us to him. Listen, we are all like Jonah. We will all run away from God unless the Lord draws us. We will all perish unless God comes and reveals himself to us. To illustrate this morning, I got up early, went to the gym, and it's dark outside in the morning now. Anybody notice that? It's really dark out, but it's light out at night. I like it, all right? Good old daylight savings time. But this morning, I was driving home. It was dark, and I came around the corner, and a guy flashed his bright lights at me. Now, after the guy passed, he was driving this way, and he passed by. I did this. You may be like, why are you so weird? All right? You can ask that question. Like, why would you do that? What would make you do that? Let me tell you what would make me do that. Years ago, when I was a young man, some 20 years old, my parents lived in the Thumb of Michigan, and I was driving home one night. And I was driving down one of those farm roads, just, you know, like half asleep, just trying to get home, 2-hour drive. And I was driving down that road, and a guy was driving toward me, and I was driving there, and a guy flashed his lights at me. I was like 20 years old, and he didn't do it once or twice. He did it like multiple times. And you know what I did? I started flashing my lights back at him, right? Like, I didn't have my bright. Usually you do that. You flash your lights at somebody if they have their brights on. I didn't have my brights on. And so he's flashing his lights on me. So I, like, start flashing my lights back at him. We had a wonderful light show, all right? And as I passed by that car, and that car went that way, I looked up, and there was a deer standing right in the middle of the road. And I thought, oh, he wasn't trying to be a jerk face at all, was he? He wasn't trying to be mean. He wasn't trying to, like, you know. He was trying to tell me something. He was trying to tell me if I keep going the way that I'm going, I'm going to have some danger that I'm going to smash into. The car flashing his lights at me wasn't being a jerk, wasn't being mean. It was going, hey, I know where you're going. I see what's ahead. I see what is in your lane, where you're running. And if you don't stop and see it, it's going to lead to great pain. Jonah was on a boat. The Lord sent a storm, calling him to go in a different direction. Because when we run away from the Lord, it is going to lead to great hurt and great pain. Not because God's mean and he's going to be mad at you, because God knows goodness and what is right, and he knows his love. And when we flee the presence of the Lord, we flee his goodness. And when we go our own way and we live a life of sin, the Bible says sin leads to death. Jonah was a man running away from the Lord, and the Lord sent a storm. Let's read a little bit more. The Bible says, verse 6, so the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper?" Now, I love that. The captain goes down into the boat. The storm is like raging, and Jonah just doesn't care. And he goes down there like, "What is your problem? Don't you care about anything?" Now, the truth is, I don't think Jonah cared about anything. I think he was so in a place of life, he just didn't care. Can I tell you, I don't think he cared if he died. And at that time, I don't think he cared that other people died. Maybe you've been at that place in life. Things have been such a mess. The addiction you're going through, you get to a place and you say, "I don't care. I don't care what happens to me. I don't care what happens to anybody else." And the captain comes and goes, what's going on? What are you doing? And he goes, "Jonah," he just doesn't know he's a prophet. He goes, "Jonah, why don't you," we're all praying to our gods, which isn't doing anything. But they're like, "Jonah, why don't you pray?" And the next verse says, so Jonah prayed. No, it doesn't. It doesn't say that at all. I don't think Jonah prayed. I don't think Jonah cared. Keep reading. Verse 7, it says, they said to one another, the sailors, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whom the account of this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots and the lot fell on Jonah. Now you may be like, what are they doing? In the Old Testament, in those days, when they would try to figure something out, they some of them would cast lots. They would roll dice. They would draw straws to see who it would land on, and then it would be that person's fault. Now, in the Bible, the Bible is not telling us now on what you should do when you're trying to figure out like what you should do in life. Just roll the dice, whatever it has. That's what God's taught. That's not what it's telling us here. It's not telling us to cast lots. These men were not followers of God. And so they did this, and it lands on Jonah. Well, why? Well, my opinion is because the Lord was using it to reveal, like the Lord. Let me say it this way. One book said it this way. Everything was working together to expose Jonah's guilt and to draw him back to God. The Lord was using all kinds of things, and I'm thankful he does that today. There's storms in our lives, and you'll be like, how did the Lord use that? That person, that instant, that thing that happened, the Lord used it to reveal where I was at and to draw me back to him. So it lands on Jonah. And then verse 8, maybe one of my favorite verses in this chapter, because I think it's so interesting. They look at Jonah and they're like, "Bro, who are you?" And they ask him all the questions. Like, verse 8 is so interesting. They're like, well, I'll read it to you. Verse 8 says, "What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" And then they go, "And what have you done?" This is fascinating to me. It's like, they're like, "Hey, who is this guy?" It fell on him. The storms, who is this? It's like they wanted his Facebook profile, the whole thing, right? And nowadays, like, they wouldn't have asked him the question. They just went to his Facebook and go, "Where are you from? What's your occupation? What are you doing right now? Who are your friends?" Right? They see everything. And here they're like, "Jonah, who are you?" And as I read this in studies, I couldn't help but think, it's amazing how many times the storm really reveals who we are. It reveals what we really think. It reveals what we really believe. Jonah gives the answer. Jonah says this, He said to them, He said to them, verse 9, I am a Hebrew. And then he says this, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And I read that verse and I go, huh? Jonah, who are you? What do you really believe? Where? What's your purpose? What's your plan? Why are you here? Who are you? It's a heavy question. Even thinking about for you today, asking that question of yourself, who are you? And Jonah goes, I'm a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the Lord who created the heavens, the seas, all of it. But I just pause and go, what? You say you fear the Lord. Why are you here then? You say you fear God, which means like you look to God with this reverence and holiness and you believe him and you go, God is all powerful. And so disobeying him sounds crazy because he's the almighty God. And so to fear the Lord is to fall under God being your Lord and following after him. Jonah goes, I fear the Lord. One guy said there's a great disconnect between Jonah's words and Jonah's actions. And I think this is so telling. Jonah runs away from the Lord. The Lord sends a storm. The storm is so revealing on who Jonah is. Jonah even says the words, you know what, I really fear the Lord. But his words don't match his actions. Can I tell you, in the church world, people like to play a lot of word games. They like to play, like people love to say, I'm a Christian. Yeah, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. But then when you look at the actions of their life, it has nothing to do with those words. Word games. Maybe you've heard them before, like, hey, I'm clean. Ever heard those word games before? And you look over at the actions and go, that is not. I'm sober. That is. They're not connecting. I think Jonah is playing some word games. He said, hey, I fear the Lord. But his life didn't show it. I guess to dive a little deep into this book of Jonah, that some people think the book of Jonah was to point to those people who had the word of God, who had God's promises and God's covenant and had God, all of God's, his word and his blessing. And there were people that go, we follow the Lord. But their actions didn't show it. There's a verse in Isaiah that says it like this. It said, the Lord said, this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips while their hearts are far from me. Talks about some that they can talk the game, but they don't live it out. Can I tell you where I think one of the scariest places to be? I think one of the scariest places to be is for someone to talk like they know Jesus and know his power and know his salvation, but none of their life reflects that. For someone that goes, man, I know this, but doesn't live it out. Someone who hasn't experienced the true transformation of the Lord. The true salvation of the Lord, that the Lord saves you and gives you the power through the Holy Spirit to walk in a life that follows him. Now, are we saying, man, that turns you and you're just going to be a perfect person and never fall again? No, we still have our flesh. We still can fall. But as people who get back up and continue to walk to follow the Lord, it's a different life. It's not just talk. It's a transformation. And I think in this, as the Lord is drawing Jonah, it is revealing who Jonah is. And then, look at verse 11. Then the sailors said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" See, the storm grew louder and heavier and more dangerous. And they looked at Jonah and go, "What do we do then?" And here's what Jonah said. "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you." Now, was Jonah being a hero here? I don't think so. Honestly, I think Jonah was saying, "I'd rather be thrown into the sea and die than to repent and follow the Lord." This doesn't sound like a kid's story, does it? It's not. Jonah, a prophet, comes to a place where he won't repent. What does repent mean? To bow down, to humble yourself before the Almighty God, to confess your sin, and then to turn and walk in a different direction. That's repentance. It's revealing where Jonah is at. He's running. The Lord brings a storm to draw him. He has the right words, but it seems doesn't seem to be in his actions. Seems like he'd rather be thrown into the sea and die than to turn and follow what the word of the Lord says. Can I be straight with you? That I think there's some of you in here, if you are really honest, you would say that I don't truly want to repent and bow down before the Almighty God, to confess my sin and to turn and to follow Jesus. See, at the river, we care for you and we love you. We sure do care about your sobriety, but we're not here to just give you tips on how to overcome that. We believe salvation of your life comes when you will repent and come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This is when transformation starts. It's trusting that God sent his son Jesus. Why? Because he loves you. Because we all have sin. Pastor up here, have sin. I fall short of the glory of God. I don't make it to heaven on my merit. Christ died on the cross because of the sin that I have committed. And only because of Jesus may I be saved. If I will confess my sins and repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I shall be saved. And one day in my life, Christ saved me. It is not because of my good works. It's because of Jesus. But you must believe. There must be a time in your life where you truly will repent and know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Listen, real quick. I want to show you what I think is so cool in chapter 2. The sailors, these sailors didn't know the Lord, were praying to other gods. They were in the wake of the storm of Jonah. They got to a point where they realized their own strength couldn't save them. I think that's a fascinating point. They came to a point to realize they didn't have enough strength to save themselves from the storm. And at the end of the chapter, it says this. It says, therefore, verse 14, they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood for you. O Lord, have done it as you pleased." So they picked up Jonah, hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Imagine this crazy storm that stops. It says, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. You know, there's great, all the smart Bible scholars out there, they all argue, did they really come to know the Lord? Like, one day will we see them in heaven? Was it just like a foxhole conversion where they were like, God, if you get me out of this, then I'll serve you? Because we know those don't last long, do they? Those foxhole, we're like, everything's bad. And we're like, God, if you just get me out of this, I'll serve you forever. And then we get in another foxhole. We're like, hey, I mean, this time, God. So we know that doesn't happen. We know it's not just a one-time thing and we move on in our life. I honestly think, see, it was after the storm they praised the Lord. It was after the storm that they offered worship to the Lord. This little kid's story shows us, I believe, how God loves us, will send a storm drawing people back to him. The storms hopefully reveal where we're at to really see where we're at, and may it bring us to a place of repentance where we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. One guy said, God continues to pursue hard-hearted, stubborn hypocrites with the very same gospel that can change even the most self-righteous hearts. One more verse I want to show you in Jonah. It's Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says this, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. I told you all the mess Jonah was. And the Lord wasn't done with him. The Lord came to him a second time. Aren't we grateful for the Lord's patience with us? Aren't we thankful that when we mess up, the Lord doesn't go, I'm done. That we have a patient God. Maybe tonight, through the Holy Spirit, there's been a revealing about where you're really at with the Lord. And maybe tonight there needs to be a repentance to ask the Lord to forgive you, to turn away from where you're walking, to walk differently. Maybe tonight just needs to be a time of praise and worship to the Lord because you are thankful that the Lord came to you a second time. But wherever you're at, I hope you will know God's love through Jesus Christ and the cross. Christ died on the cross and rose again. If we'll confess our sins and believe in him, we shall be saved. So I'm going to ask you to stand. Worship team, you're going to come and lead us in a song. I know there's people here that will pray with you if you'd like to do that. And if you're struggling with something or need to have a time of repentance, I know there'll be table leaders here that will pray with you. Would love to do that. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can walk up right to one of them and say, hey, I need to know how to truly accept Christ for the very first time. I'm going to pray. Worship team's going to lead us in a song. Well, God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.